I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No. Yes. Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg.
Morning.
I was waiting for that. Good morning. Remember, you guys can check us out on radio.com, the radio.com app, and all your devices, including smart speakers. Good morning, Mr. Crenshaw.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, I'm going to turn you up so I can hear you a little bit better.
Okay.
Let's keep giving me a check one, too.
You're coming through loud and clear for me.
Okay, well. Maybe there's a storm coming in somewhere between us and Gwinnett County.
No, not this Sunday. We've had them the last couple of Sundays, but not this Sunday.
It is all good. Where's my headphones at? Anyway, no, I'm doing fine, man. Just I missed a flyover yesterday.
No.
Well, what happened was I ended up having to do some other stuff here. I had planned on, you know, how you get ready to go and you get your dress and you tell the folks, okay, get in the car in 5 minutes, and then next thing you know, something comes up.
We talked on the way to it. I was going.
No, you were on the way to it. I was still at the house.
Okay. Yeah, well, you were about to leave.
I was still at the house.
You told me.
And so I was actually waiting to leave, and something just came up. So anyway, what I did was I shot down I-20 coming into town because I figured they were going to finish up on the south side of town. So if they came through, I'd be able to see the end of it at least. And not so much.
Yeah, you had to move fast, man.
I did.
Them dudes were
moving. I got delayed.
They were moving big time. It was fantastic. What did you think of the idea of them doing it? I thought it was a tremendous idea. First of all, what did you think of the idea?
Oh, no, I thought it was great. And they're, you know, this is nationwide, so we're just another stop. They're working their way from east to west. That's what it looks like, at least. They did what, Washington?
No, I think they came well.
They did Philly.
New
York.
I mean, they're based in Pensacola. So I think they
right.
They came up, and I had a friend that I talked with yesterday who lives not too far from Dobbins, because they kind of started out from that way, but they didn't fly in overnight. And one of the reasons is, you know, the hangars and whatnot over there have COVID patients staying in right now at Dobbins. And so that wasn't available if they were going to fly in and have the planes there early in the morning, because he went over early just to take pictures of the planes before they took off, and they just flew in. Flew around the city and, you know, kept going. But they wanted to fly near the area where a lot of the major hospitals in our area are. And that's what it gets to about. And once again, we want to say our thanks to all of the responders and all the people on the front line, the health professionals in our area who are continuing to do the work. And sometimes, some days we talk about them a lot. Some days we don't talk about them very much. But they're the people who are doing the job and putting their lives basically in harm's way to serve those who've been stricken by this virus. And so, you know, that's the way they came in. They started out from Marietta, basically came down 75 toward town, turned and went back up north. And so my vantage point was at Peachtree DeKalb Airport, where there are a number of people that were standing out there waiting for them to see them come by. And so they passed going northbound. I was able to get some shots and post a little video on my Instagram of it. And they go up to around the King and Queen building, basically up in that area around, you know, Northside Hospital.
Top of the perimeter. Yeah.
Yep. Children's Healthcare, you know, the hospitals, the Northside Hospital. So I had a friend that was on the ninth floor of the parking deck at St. Joe's. And what a vantage point to see them make that turn and head back toward the city, basically parallel with Peachtree, and pass by Piedmont Hospital, right on down past Emory, right down to Grady, do a circle around the city. I saw a vantage point from some people at Atlantic Station who watched me at a great vantage point of them doing a circle. Then they go southbound and basically went down through Peachtree. Of course, they got to pass part by Hartsfield-Jackson Airport to go that way. And then down through Peachtree City, and they make a turn because there's so many retired pilots that live in that Fayette County, Peachtree City area. So basically a flyby over them before taking off and heading back to Florida. So that was the path that it took yesterday. And we'd love to hear this morning if you had a chance to see it. Give us your thoughts. You can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or give us a call and share your experience from the flyover yesterday, where you were, where you watched it. You know, were you excited about it, and how did it make you feel to see these two showcase best in the world flight teams that represent our military but came to honor our heroes who are the responders and our heroes in the hospitals and health professionals in the area. I think it was a great, great tribute to them yesterday, Greg.
Yeah, it was the okay, first of all, it was the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels.
Yes.
One from Navy, one from the Army, I believe.
Right.
The other thing is them getting up here. They've been down this road. This is like folks from Alabama coming in for SEC championship games, because we've had some events here in the city where flyovers have been part of it. So they know about coming to Atlanta. I don't remember last time they went and flew over Philadelphia, but they flew over. They've flown over Atlanta for the last few years. We have been fortunate enough to see a few of them. Having said that, as far as yesterday, you broke down where the route was. But what I would like to have seen, or will see hopefully, is some sort of aerial shot showing the little pockets where people congregated to watch this. As you said, you talked about these folks had a parking deck, and these folks over here were in the ninth floor of a building. There were all these little scattered areas, but within those pockets, there were a lot of people concentrated, which is a whole other conversation when you talk about social distancing that was supposed to be happening yesterday.
Yeah,
that was all. There were places in this city, and we drove by, you know, after I missed them, and I talked to some people, I got over there by, actually, I was over by Oakland Cemetery, over there by 6 Feet Under and 10 Lizzie's. I came, came up 20, got off at Boulevard, and we drove around, Tracy and I drove around, and it was like the end of the Peachtree Road Race. You know, like when folks are done with the Peachtree Road Race and there's for a couple hours, there's like a bunch of streets that are just congested with folks and walking home and tongue hanging out like Jesse after a walk. And that was what was going on yesterday. It was a beautiful day. It was hard to remember we have this pandemic going on days like we had yesterday.
Really?
But if you had an aerial shot, I'd like to see that. Where the pockets were, like where you were at, where there are a lot of people up there, and then how it breaks up, and then, over here by Lenox, or over here by this part of the city. I'd like to have seen that. That would have been cool. By the way, Sam and Greg again.
Different parking lots. I'm sure Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, over Georgia State Stadium. I mean, a lot of people were in those parking lots knowing that it would pass by. And then people down around the airport coming out knew that they would pass, you know, they would pass near the airport. So a lot of people were gathered in those areas, too. To get a look at the flyover. Tremendous. Also, shout out to somebody from the area who was in the sky yesterday, Captain Ramoshe Nelson. And she was flying with the Thunderbirds. She's from Douglasville.
Right.
And
there were a couple Georgia connections. There were a couple Georgia connections on this.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Sam,
I don't know. I've never been to an air show to see the Blue Angels or other Thunderbirds. Only time I've seen them is at flyover for sporting events. I think Thunderbirds flew over Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the opening of the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
But I've never been to an air show to see them do the barrel rolls and all the type things. So it was a treat for me because I never really actually had a chance to go to an air show and watch it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Again, check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. I had called you earlier in the week, to find out what was going on with you, how things were going, but more importantly, and I didn't get you till like 2-3 days later, but after Monday afternoon, I was spitting nails.
Whoa.
And we're gonna talk about this throughout the show.
Uh-oh.
But I called you on the heels of the response that started with those Detroit Pistons after the you know, episode 3 and 4 aired of The Last Dance. And then it was all about Isaiah. And can you believe this? This is like something that happened. Like if the drama that went on with KD and the Golden State Warriors. All right. That's fresh. And even Draymond dipped his toe into this whole Last Dance too. But the beef that these dudes still got going on and how it resurfaced and how it was talked about this week, especially the beginning of this week, it was as if it happened like 2 weeks ago or a week ago or last season, meaning the Isaiah Michael Jordan thing. Yeah, but I've been telling you about this dude, Isaiah Thomas. And he
It's your homeboy.
No, he ain't my homeboy. No, he ain't.
Your homeboy.
He ain't. Yeah, okay. He is. Don't get me started. All right, I'm already kind of worked up. All right. We do not claim him. We don't want to do with him. And after Monday, Detroit don't even want nothing to do with him. I mean, he just tries to be, and not very successfully, this politician when it comes to dealing with issues. But everybody knew that this dude was the ringleader of what was going on with that Pistons team. Oh, I got to pace myself. So when he came back and tried to like clean it up, he made himself look even worse. He got Stephen A. Smith going at him, going, "Man, you need to just shut up, okay? Let it go." Jordan ain't thinking about you. He already gave you credit for what kind of player you are. That's all you should care about. But you trying to like say, "Well, if I thought about it again, I might not want to do it." Well, then don't ever call yourself a bad boy again. All right. Don't ever call yourself, if you want to apologize now, don't ever call yourself a bad boy, which, by the way, ticked off Lambeer and a couple other players while he was sitting there trying to apologize. He did this stuff back in Chicago. I got to stop. I got a guy.
But you know what it reflects, though? It reflects how much Major League Sports has changed, because, you know, that's been years past. Those guys want to hold on to that image. And the Pistons weren't the only ones that played physical basketball now.
But they were the first. They were the real first.
That's the way the East played. That's the way the East played.
Yeah.
All the teams in the East, you had to be physical. The Celtics could do it with you. Think about the Knicks with Patrick Ewing. The East would play the different, while the West Coast played this beautiful game. But today is so different because guys on different teams all have the same agents. They all have the same, and so that stuff doesn't exist now. You have some guys maybe have some animosity, but nobody's going to hold any grudges because everybody's got the same agent and everybody's going to the bank. So that just shows how much pro sports has kind of changed. Guys don't hold on to stuff like that now. It's just a different time.
Well, we will get more into that. We're going to talk about a couple stories that you're going to hear about that happened actually during the week. John Smoltz joined our station this week, told some great stories. We're going to give you some ideas for Mother's Day. That is all coming up. We're going to talk about reopening sports next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm...
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Well, the day after, Thunderbirds and Blue Angels came by paying tribute to the healthcare workers and pretty much everybody who's on the front lines of helping us through this virus. They have hit, let's see, I think New York was their first stop. We were the third. I have Philadelphia, and then now Atlanta. I have no idea the actual schedule of where they're going to go next. I would imagine a stop in Chicago, maybe somewhere. Whatever the next hot zones are, the people who've been really dealing with this, the bigger cities, and at some point probably end up out west with Los Angeles. But this was, I can't remember, Sam, the last time something happened in the metropolitan area that brought everybody out. I mean, even the Super Bowl didn't, where you got, believe it or not, there are people out there that ain't football fans or didn't want to deal with coming into the city, and they're going to stay and watch games at home. Atlanta United, their championship games too. But everybody came out to look up into the sky yesterday, and it was something to behold, even though I missed it. But I still made it into the city to be a part of it somehow.
You seen some pictures of it, right?
And then came back and saw the replay on TV. Watching it on TV, to me, was the equivalent of watching the New Year's Eve fireworks on TV. But it was kind of cool seeing it buzz around certain parts of the city.
It was. And you had the great vantage point for it. You know, that's the thing. And the anticipation of seeing it. I was watching, and there were several veterans that were around where I was watching and observing, and you know, to get their comments and get their reactions to it, you know, an awful lot of pride in coming out to see it and take pictures of it. And that was a thing, is being able to photograph it. I mean, I did not the best job of videoing it. And I took like my Nikon. I never really even got that thing out to try to get a shot of it. It was moving so fast. So. But there are some people who were in a great vantage point and got some really good shots of it. Keith Whitney, my former colleague from 11 Alive, now he's now with the City of Atlanta. He found some footage in the cockpit footage of the flyover when one of the Blue Angels had a camera inside the cockpit, and to look out, you know, it looks like that fishbowl kind of look where you look out and you're seeing different vantage points down below. You're seeing Bobby Dodd Stadium. You're seeing from their vantage point. That's pretty cool to see that video of them passing through Atlanta. So that was fantastic. But with that, Greg, people were out and people are starting to reemerge, you know, to different degrees. Things are reopening in the city. Some people excited about it. Some people still reluctant. I don't know where you are on some of those things. I don't know if you're ready to go out and sit and eat at restaurants. I know you and your wife love to go out to eat. I know that's something that you guys love to do. So I don't know if you've done that much or not. We know the guys over at Off the Hook. Pieces of people, everybody want to go and get their hair done and get the nails done. If they want to do that Friday, go right ahead. I was in no hurry to go to any of those places. Some shopping areas open. This week I saw some kind of scary pictures of people just lined up to get into Greenbrier, the Greenbrier Mall, to go and shop for what? Because here's the thing, Greg, and Lenox and Phipps and Mall of Georgia and those places are going to open tomorrow. My thing is this. What are you going to get? And I know we're going to talk to Rick Limpert next hour, and it is Mother's Day week, so you don't want to get your Mother's Day gifts, but we've all found the virtues of shopping online in this last month and few weeks. We have, because if you got anything, chances are that's how you got it. So you know you don't have to go to the mall to do these type things. And a lot of things people haven't thought about, Greg. Are you going to go there? Are you going to try on something? Like an hour after somebody else tried it on?
Well,
and
again,
if you buy something, there's no return policies right now. I think a lot of people hadn't thought about that. Once you buy something right now, you bought it. And it's just so different from usual, where you can go and try stuff on and browse and go through the shelves and go through the. I don't really.
Man, that game's up. But that was yesterday. We know that those days are over, at least for now. If you know that going in, then you have to adjust your thinking, which a lot of people have done. You mentioned being at the mall. Okay, after I missed the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds yesterday, I started driving around to check out different pockets of the city. One of the stops I wanted to see, because in the entire time I have lived in Atlanta, I've never seen the parking lot at Lenox Square completely barren. Like, they've been showing shots of, you know, there's no parking going on over there. Things will open up this week, but, you know, it's empty. And I've never seen that before. So I wanted to drive over there and see what it was like. And I'll be honest with you, we saw a bunch of cars. Now, here's what was open. There were some takeout restaurants, curbside service, if you will.
Right.
And the one business that I did see open, and again, you know, they talk about essential businesses, they can remain open and it's okay for them to be there, was the Sprint store.
Okay.
That was the only one. There were people going around trying to get into, like, you know, Neiman Marcus and all these other nice stores, you know, the folks that would normally shop in there. They got out of their nice cars and they went to get in there and threw like a fit when the door was closed. Like, they couldn't understand why. And yeah, it really was. It was really, really interesting.
We've been shut up in the house too long.
No, man, but you know, they're just people who come out. Well, all right. That's not what we do. We don't wave our finger at nobody. Y'all live your life.
No,
but it was the only store, like I said, store, other than a restaurant, yesterday that at Lenox, because I drove through, was the Sprint store.
Yeah.
But Cheesecake were given curbside service and some other restaurants, and God bless them. Then went down through Buckhead and saw a smattering of stores that were open, but most of them were, you know, for food and takeout. So, got to get your phone fixed, continue. I guess that's why Sprint stayed open. But are you?
Yeah,
listen,
some people bet.
No, I'm not going into a place to buy some clothes right now. I'm not going into a place and get my hair cut. You know how I love KB. I don't know that I'm going in, not just for the haircut, just to be in the barbershop experience and see my boys over at Off the Hook. Because the last, I don't know, half a dozen times I've gone over there, it's just about being in there. and catching up on stuff and talking football and listening to Maurice tell
Maurice.
Us how many how, for the next 5 years the Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl and why they're going
to
do
I
it.
I got to get his take on the draft. I can't wait to get his take on the draft. You know, but they're going to do like most other places that have opened. There's going to be distance inside. Every other chair will be open. I think a lot of places are probably going to do stuff like that. And I think you probably want to call ahead before you go. If not, you're probably going to sit in your car until they say, okay, it's time for you to get to be served. I would think that's how a lot of places are going to work as far as, you know, people doing, women getting their hair done, men getting their hair cut. I would hope that's what they're going to do. I tell you something else I did get to experience this week. Greg was over at Greenbrier Mall. That's one of the testing sites for free COVID-19 testing. And I do want to pass this along because the testing is being given free around the metro Atlanta area, and they're inviting people to go online and get pre-registered for it because it's a drive-up. You drive up, there are nurses there who administer the testing, and they take that, and in 72 hours you can find out whether you're positive, you know, or negative. And the locations within the city of Atlanta are Greenbrier Mall, Georgia State Stadium, Georgia Tech, and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Around the area, Kennesaw State, they're doing it. Down on the south side at Clayton State, out in DeKalb County at the Decatur Armory. And it's every day. It's Monday through Sunday. And it's absolutely free. So, you know, if you work in essential type work and your job is calling you back, you got to go back this week. If you got any type of symptoms and you want to find out for sure, because, Greg, here's the thing a lot of people were saying, that the backlog was so much at the doctor's offices, they were going to have to wait to go in and be tested at their doctor's offices. Well, this is somewhere you can go. And if you get registered, they make an appointment for you. You drive your car right up. You stay in your car. And the ones I'm talking to that basically were administered by the folks at Augusta University Health, a.k.a. Medical College of Georgia, and the Georgia National Guard. So shout out to the National Guard who's out there doing the job and helping people get this free COVID-19 testing that is happening statewide. But those are places in the metro Atlanta area.
Yeah, you mentioned some state. Because you mentioned around Atlanta, but there's a couple on here to stick out. Albany Civic Center, Rock Creek Sports Complex. That's in Dawsonville. But one I'm surprised that you didn't mention, and you can get testing at the Colquitt Regional Medical Center. He ain't there no more, but shout out Ross Probst.
Well, as far as we know, he's still living there, but he's probably going to have to move now.
Don't get in his hunting area. But, you know, you got to mention
that. He's probably out looking for some turkeys here this morning.
M.E. Lewis Elementary School, Spartan, Georgia. So, yeah, the list is out there. Something I was going to say to you that you had mentioned a minute ago as far as the folks being out and going to the barbers. Listen, we need to, and we've made our opinions known about how we feel and how comfortable we are about going out. But we got to say this because we aren't that show. We're not going to wave our fingers at you and tell you how to think and how to live your life. We got a lot of people, Sam, that listen to our show that are small business owners who have weighed. They have to weigh on a daily basis the health concerns versus them putting food on the table. And while we may not make the same decision they have made or will make, we're not walking in their shoes. So we understand. Right. We understand. Let's make this clear, man. We understand for those of you who rely on, you know, your business being open to survive and you have to make some tough decisions. What we say here has just got to do with Sam and Greg. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Y'all do what you got to do, and we understand you, and we love you, and we thank you for listening to our station, but we're not about to be that show. At least I'm not. That waves your finger at you and calls you names for going out and doing certain things. You live, God, you know, God bless you. Do what you want to do, you know? And I don't care how you dress, how you take care of your family, how you discipline your kids, you know, and during this time, everybody has had to make some decisions that heretofore they haven't had to. So I just want to make that clear, and I think you agree with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, you have to go out and do that if you need to, as far as businesses go. But even with that, you know, doing in a way that, that still adheres to some standards. I think you still want to make sure people come in that it's, that it, that it's safe, give people the option of who are observing those things. If people are coming in, they're wearing their mask and gloves, whatever that occupation or that business might be. But the thing we really can learn about is the big crowds and going places where there are big crowds. And I think that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people are still cautious about. Wasn't the case at Piedmont Park yesterday.
Oh, Piedmont. So, just every park. It wasn't just Piedmont Park, man. It was everywhere. Yeah. And again, let me just finish this, put the tip on this. We have enough education now to know what we should and should not do. So while the business owners are deciding to open up, their issue, other than whatever else they got to deal with, is people walking by or into their location and not seeing people adhering to 6 feet or mask or gloves, and they may turn around and walk out. You know, so as you said, they're doing the best they can, you know, and I don't know if barber chairs are being moved farther apart. You know, we saw patios that only, instead of having 6 or 10 tables, only had 3 or 4, you know, so they would be able to do distance. So again, when you speculate on what this business is doing, they're going to do their best to adhere to the rules. But people have enough education to know, and their comfort zone will also dictate how much time they spend in a certain place.
Right, right. And that's the thing we talk about as we talk about, you know, reopening, and we talk about the return of sports. We're going to be talking about that some this week. Because, Greg, I think this is going to be a pivotal week. I know people are going to be joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Later on in this show, we're going to talk with Mike Conte. Obviously, Atlanta United, some of the players will be able to come back into the facility this week. Facility. Also, the NBA going to open their facilities probably by the end of this week. I think we'll also hear some announcements probably on some of the other teams. They'll all fall into line now, and we get an idea of when we might see some competition. Also, the NFL schedule is expected to remain as planned and start on time. That's what we're expecting to hear this week. So I think this is a big week to stay tuned and keep everything tuned here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game to find out when the players are going to go back and start working out, getting their physicals. They're going to be able to be examined by the team doctors. Those are things that they haven't been able to do during this time. So it's starting to get things started, and I think people can find out more each and every day this week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to have the latest for you.
Here's the things that you need to listen for, though. The players that are on the various sports teams, some of them ain't got U.S. passports. And we need to find out, you know, how these guys, A, if they left town, and B, if they did, how are they going to get back? Okay, so that's hurdle number one. And then hurdle number two, and there's more than just a few here, when are you going to feel comfortable with them? And the message has to come from somebody who's got a sheepskin on the wall, as far as I'm concerned, not an elected official or a team owner. When are you going to feel comfortable when they tell you, oh, it's all good to come back? You know, to an outdoor facility to watch a game or an indoor facility. I mean, I say that rhetorically, but see, that's another thing. That's one of the many things that's going to happen next. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that, as Sam said. Also, earlier this week, John Smoltz came out and joined Dukes and Bell. Told some great stories. We're going to give you a little bit of that and talk some baseball next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on radio.com and all your devices, including smart speakers.
Tell me, are you going?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg. again, I want to remind you guys, radio.com app or the radio.com app is another way you guys can check us out, your devices, including smart speakers. I was trying to see what happened on this date, and nothing, but there is one. I'm going to save it for a little bit. It'll tie into something that we're going to talk about later on.
Okay.
Nicely.
All right.
But this past week, you know, during this time when everybody's sort of shut in, we're talking to a lot of people and hearing some stories that, you know, you might not, because people are moving fast. Like, we heard a great one. I hope it's still up online someplace from Bob Rathman? No. Play-by-play for the Hawks.
Steve Holman.
Steve Holman told a great story a few weeks ago, if you remember. And we don't get a chance to talk to Steve that much. And he got a chance to open up because it's like he hasn't talked to anybody. Now, during this time of year, John Smoltz will be talking to all of us that are baseball fans, right? But
right.
Like him and Joe Buck. And by the way, if you haven't seen the latest Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, he sits down with Jim Nance, Joe Buck.
That's a cool show. That's a cool show.
Yeah, Mike Breen and talks about. Yeah, that was a great one. Mm-hmm. A great watch if you haven't seen it. But John Smoltz, our neighbor here in Atlanta, got a chance to sit down with Dukes and Bell this past week and covered a number of items and told one of the greatest stories that you've heard, and we're going to play that later on in the show. But we want to give you a little bit of John Smoltz with Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk about a little bit of that afterwards, but again, we've got to pre-sell what's coming up later on in the show. But here's John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, with Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
One of the coolest things during this pause in sports is we've been able to go back and watch some of the great games, great series, and great events that have happened in sports. And Fox Sports Southeast and the Atlanta Braves present World Series Week this week, guys. If you're unaware, it features our Braves, the 95 World Champs, taking on the Cleveland Indians. And it's going to be airing for six consecutive nights. Now, it started Monday night, game one, if you missed it. But it's going to go through Saturday, May 2nd, and you'll get a chance to see how the Braves won the World Series. If you're of a certain age, you watched this or you covered it, or maybe, you know, you were a Braves fan back then, you remember it. Each night's telecast is going to be previewed by Chip Carey, Tom Glavine, and John Smoltz sharing insight and memories. And ironically, we get Smoltzy on the program right now, Mike, to kind of help us with this. And, John, it's good to have you back on as we look down memory lane, man. Does it seem like it's been 25 seasons?
Man, I tell you what. When you try to remember things that were happening, it does seem that long ago. But the memory of winning obviously never gets old, and it is the only championship, so it's one of those that you're going to hold on to forever. But it was pretty incredible going down, just trying to remember everything that was going on at that time and the pressure we were under. And the great team we were playing, those offenses we went through in the postseason were incredible.
That's the thing. You guys, you look at the National League, and remember the Indians were there almost every year. They had an amazing run, too, but just couldn't dot the I. What was the toughest, when you look at that lineup, what was the toughest part of the Indians?
Well, they were relentless. You know, they had the ability to obviously beat you with the long ball. They had so many... I think they had the perfect lineup. I think it was one of the best lineups we've ever faced. And when you think about, again, you know, we went through the Colorado Rockies, which was a scary offensive lineup back then, and the Cincinnati Reds were awfully good. So it was certainly very well earned. It was probably the toughest part of our run was going through those offenses, and of course, finishing it off with Cleveland was pretty special.
Smoltz, you know you're my guy, but I'm going to take you back to your start. Game three, all right? We're up 1-0. Bottom of the first. Kenny Lofton singles to center. Then Omar Vasquez comes up, triples into right field. What are you thinking at that moment?
Well, I already knew that I didn't have anything. And I was struggling with the grip. I could not feel the baseball that night. I went in and I told Bobby, I've got nothing. I can't throw my split. I can't throw my slider. I feel like I'm holding a cue ball. And I don't think, I don't think good things are going to happen here. And I grinded it out, but it just was a bad mixture. It was everything you don't want to have happen at the most important time. You know, it was a cold night. Right. And I didn't have it, and we took the game into, extra innings, and then the rest of the series, I was in the bullpen every time the phone rang, and kind of like, I'd never been out of the pen yet at that point, and every time the phone rang, I was getting queasy. It was the weirdest feeling in the world. And then, of course, I had to get ready for game seven, which would have been my fourth one, hard to believe, fourth one in a short, at that point, short career, and thankfully, Glavine pitched the game of his life.
Right,
and it was I was pretty thankful.
It is John Smoltz. You recognize the voice. Now he's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and he's a Hall of Famer. John, was that like the part of the sports psychology that helped you, or was it just all like what the heck's going on here in that World Series for you?
No, it was. It literally was. You know, it was my only start, and it was the when I found out about. I don't know, that was 1995, 2000 and something, I found out I had vascular restriction, which was something that every time I faced a cold game or a cold weather game, I struggled. And finally, I went and got tested after all those years of just trying to figure out why that was, you know, such a problem. And so, yeah, I ended up having that where my fingers would turn white. And go figure, I grew up in Michigan. And I never had the issue, and then I got to Georgia, and of course the heat and everything about living down here, I believe it does thin your blood out. And so I found a way to deal with that later in my career, but man, you talk about warming up for a World Series game, and you're sitting there going, oh shoot, my bread and butter pitch, my slider, it literally felt like a cue ball. And when I hung a couple pitches, and after I think, last an inning and two-thirds, or two innings and a third, something like that, and, you know, the bullpen kept us in there, and we actually had a chance to win the game, but lost it in extra innings. I was pulling hard for my teammates after that.
Fox Sports Southeast and the Braves present World Series Week, guys. It's Dukes and Bale visiting with Hall of Famer John Smoltz and, again, Chip Carey, Tom Glavine, Smoltzy sharing insight and memories into the World Series games. It's the 25th anniversary, and as we started the interview, we said it doesn't seem like that long ago. I'll take you back. Games 1, 4, and 5 originally aired on ABC with the broadcast team of Al Michaels, Jim Palmer, and Tim McCarver.
Right.
Games 2, 3, and 6 featured Bob Costas, Joe Morgan, and Bob Uecker on the call for NBC. You played against a couple of Hall of Famers. Think about all the Hall of Famers now. Bobby Cox, Smoltzy, Glavine, Chipper, Maddox. But they had Eddie Murray and Jim Tomei, two guys that were just beast in that lineup, weren't they?
They were, and they had a perfect leadoff hitter. You know, Kenny Lofton was the perfect leadoff hitter. Baerga was a stingy, could move the ball around the park. And then they have the beef coming up behind him. And, you know, they had a lineup that was, again, I don't know that we faced a lineup quite like that in our run. And they, of course, their pitching staff was stingy as well. Oral Hershiser went against Maddox. I can't even tell you who pitched against me because I didn't last very long.
And, right.
And I was trying to figure out what was going to get me ready for Game 7. But that series was loud in Cleveland. It was loud in Atlanta. And, of course, Game 6 just couldn't have gone any better. It was a fitting way for us to win a championship. We felt like we outpitched everybody, but to win a game 1-0 and you know, coming off of all those 1-0 games in 92 and 91 and just the way that it ended with a homer and Glavine's masterpiece and Wohler's pirouette, seeing that pirouette with the ball went in the air and Grissom caught it. You know, we all felt, you know, you look back, we all felt that this was the start of a dominance that was going to be similar to what, unfortunately, the Yankees ended up doing. We really believed that we had reached that point in breaking through, and of course, you know, 96 happens and it changes everything. But what a relief and what an unbelievable feeling to come so close in 91, 92, and of course 93, and in 94, not getting a chance. 95 was a huge relief and weight off of all of us.
It is John Smoltz with us, guys. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about 95 because Fox Sports South is running back all these great games. And just one last nugget because I want to ask you about the new idea that baseball's kicking around for restarting 2020. But when Maddox throws at Eddie Murray, were you guys like Avery and Glavine like, what the are you doing, man? Remember, if I remember right, wasn't Hershiser upset about all that?
Yeah. That was one of those weird moments where, you know, the other pitcher comes out to the mound and asks Maddox if he did that on purpose. And so, yeah, that definitely got the attention of everybody. And I'm trying to remember where I was. I might have been. Was that game?
That was game five, yeah.
Game five. So I was in the pen. Mm-hmm. And I remember just, you know, uh-oh, here we go. And they had to be, you know, you had to do some of those, you had to pitch inside off of some of those guys because they, you know, Tomey just owned the right field line. He was, I think he would have set the all-time record if the foul pole was moved like 5 feet to the right because he hit so many balls down the line. But that was something interesting to see play out.
Smoltzy, let's switch shift gears and talk about MLB discussing a plan to start maybe in late June, playing in home stadiums with realigned leagues. Have you seen this report?
You know, I've heard a lot of different ideas, and I'm for whatever's going to get baseball playing. And I just think, you know, you're never going to have a perfect scenario here. We've never dealt with this before. Players are just going to have to learn to adjust and deal with whatever comes down the pipe that is negotiated and worked out. They're going to try their best to get the sport going without fans, I'm sure, and try to see what happens, you know. And it's going to be different. And by having a different scenario set out, it's not going to change who ends up winning the tournament, right, to win the World Series. It's going to still have to – you're still going to have to use your roster. And I'm for whatever. I know some people have come out and had some – voiced some concern, but there's a lot of people that need this to happen. And if a couple people don't feel comfortable about it, well, so be it, you know. But there's a lot of people that need this to happen for their lives and for their livelihood. So I'm sure once they get the all clear and they get this thing rolling, we'll feel a little bit better about life, just knowing, because baseball's always been a calendar thing. Like, we know things are good when every single day there's a baseball game. And so, you know, I'm hoping that they can get started earlier. I'm hoping there's things going to get better. I don't know how it's going to play out with the stadiums they choose to work in and utilize, but, you know, baseball players, I hope, are doing everything they can to stay in shape and get ready for whatever this little sprint marathon is going to be like. And, you know, at the end of the day, once it gets going, I think a lot of people will be very relieved.
And that's the thing, John. I know that Carl and I talked about it earlier. It's a minefield of possibilities of what's going to happen here, testing different states. What happens if a hot spot crops up? But I'm with you. It's a relief and a release for the fans. And I don't want to get political. I just can't live my life in fear. And I think there's a lot of athletes that are raring to go. Again, as long as the protocols are followed, I think we should at least. It would be great to see baseball be the first sport to give it a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there would be other things going on right now if it wasn't for the social pressure and some of the things that people have, you know, you can listen to a lot and get paralyzed with fear. I mean, we have to rely on the experts, but even the experts can't all agree on something to make it all work. So once it gets going and once everyone does and knows what they have to do, we're creatures of habit that will learn how to adjust. You know, I mean, I'll never forget going up when the convention was in, or the Olympics were in Atlanta. We had an 18 out of 21 days we were on the road. We actually had a couple off days. We learned how to deal with that. You know, there's scenarios that might not allow people to be home at all for a while. You'll learn how to deal with it. And teams will make adjustments. The rosters will be adjusted. And so I think that is the major thing I'm looking forward to. I don't know how it's going to shake out with the announcers. I don't know how it's going to shake out with the broadcasts. But I know this, if we get going and it can just look past some things that, I mean, if not, we're all going to be paralyzed by the fear. And I think baseball and then basketball going and hockey, and I don't know how football is going to play out yet. Then at least people are going to start getting excited about, you know, you look, nothing, not much to watch on TV. There's a chance the four major sports could all be playing at the same time in a weird way. That would be the first time ever. And there'll be a lot of choices all of a sudden to watch.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Before we get out of here, two quick things. John Smoltz speculated who he went up against in that Game 3. It was Charles Nagy. Braves lost that game 7-6. Cleveland hit no home runs. We got one out of McGriff and Klesko. And another story that John tells in that interview with Dukes and Bell having to do with Michael Jordan. We're going to play that for you later on in the show. But up next, going to talk about some news out of the NBA and the NCAA and also Mother's Day gifts to consider. That's all next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.